July.
Good morning. I call this special or this work session to order. It is April 26, 2019, 8:38 a.m. Friday, and this meeting concerns Midwest grain trading, Nodak grain, roving grain buyer, grain warehouse, insolvencies, PSC case number GE-18-395, PSC versus Hunter Hansen, DBA, Midwest grain trading, civil number 08-2018-CV-03299, and PSC versus Hunter Hansen, Nodak grain, civil number 35-2018-CV-00088. And this matter may be discussed in executive session as well. Is there any other business related to this topic that needs to be discussed at this point in time that anyone would like to add?
Well, good morning, Commissioners. Conrad Crockford, Public Service Commission. I just wanted to give you an update on our efforts over at the Roarville Elevator. At this point, we've solicited bids, and we are looking at an estimated value over there of $297,000 of assets. And that is in addition. We did not get a bid on the canola over there, but we have reached out to the ADM Velva Crush plant along with the Devil's Lake one to get their price. And so we factored that in there based off of what we might have to pay in freight charges to get the canola over to them. We'd have a little more details to work out as far as logistically if they'd be able to supply the trucks. We'd just have to contract with the company to do that. But that would net us $15,000. So that gets us to that $297,000 estimate number that we've got over there for Roarville. At this point, we've had the electrician head over there. The facility has been disconnected electrically from the power grid because the lack of payment on the bill. So we've been working with Nodak Electric on that. And we've got sorted out some of the details there so we can get power restored to the facility. Additionally, we've submitted the permit for water discharge to the Department of Health. And speaking with them, they're going to work on hopefully getting that permit to us the end of next week, with the possibility of us starting the following week is what I hope. That's best case scenario.
What's required for that permit? That seems like a long time.
By rules, the health department has 30 days to review that permit.
Going to take them a week. Is that complicated?
No, it's not. It's not complicated. We submitted everything that they requested on that. We've already had the water samples drawn, but it goes into their queue, and there's five additional permits that they're working on as well right now. I've spoken with the counterpart over there that works on those permits, and she understands the situation, and I've tried to push as many buttons as I could push to get that expedited, but I don't know if they're going to just put us at the top of the list. So,
and it's a water discharge permit for the Roarville elevator, is that what it would be called?
That's correct, yep, so that we can have the water that's in the basement discharged onto adjacent land. And we've already worked and have worked with two companies and selected the lowest bidder on that as well. And so the cost, as of right now, an estimate is $4,200 for the water pumping. So depending on time and labor, we anticipate we should be able to hopefully get that taken care of within 2 to 3 days is what the inspectors have figured out there as well.
And if you recall, at the last work session, we had the issue of do we pump the water out and try to get the boot running, or do we hire grain back? And after that work session, Mike and Conrad did kind of a workup of that, and it's actually the potential to make a lot more money if we get the boot working. So we've been working towards getting the water out and hopefully getting that boot working.
So one thing I failed to mention when we started, I'm Commissioner Brian Crashus, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchuk and Commissioner Randy Christman. Conrad Crawford also identified himself. Mitch Armstrong, legal counsel, is with. Shelley Bosky, Anthony Schwartz, Mike McNamee. We also have John Hsu and Steve Call in the room. Okay, is there anything?
So that's just where we're at on selling the remaining grain. And as an update, I mean, if there's any concerns or questions or the commission would like us to be doing something different, you know, let us know.
The estimate that you gave us for the value of the grain, that's bids that are in, and is there a time frame couched into those bids, like that they would pick it up, you know, the third week in August or something like that, or are they ready to go whenever we have that facility working, or what's the status of the timing?
That's a good question, Commissioner. The timing and what we've talked with, you know, all the bidders understand our situation so that we were up front with them so they knew how the bid was going. And the timing of it, you know, we spoke to them about being flexible, about accepting, you know, being able to take receivership, but we'd keep them posted as far as our abilities to get the operation of the facility going. The only one that we needed to really get back to, I think, was over at Valley Grain. Is that correct, Mike, that he was looking at filling contracts in June, end of May?
The situation is right now there's trucks running north and south hauling seed, and if we were able to load grain, they goes back south, works really good for them. So in his bid, I believe he said that he would be done by, was it May 15th? So he's willing to really move this thing along if we can do our part of it. Was it May 15th or June 15th?
June 15th.
Okay.
I knew it was the 15th. When those bids expire, basically.
Right. Right. So and just for the record, that was Mike McNamee speaking. No, that's okay. Will load restrictions have any impact on our ability to move grain or the buyers?
Again, I spoke to the county commissioner that's in charge of the roads in Ramsey County, and at the present time, there's road restrictions on the road from Roarville. It would be about 6 miles of restricted road. And by talking to him, I believe that if we needed to, they would have a meeting and they would give us a variance so that we could get that grain out of there. Generally speaking, he said restrictions probably go off about the 15th or so.
Okay.
But, you know, every spring is different.
When you say the 15th, you're talking the 15th of May?
Correct.
Well, it looks like what you mentioned as a total of the value coming from that elevator, I think you said after cost, Conrad, is even a little bit higher than what you put in the chart.
Right. We did get the bids came back very good, especially the yellow peas. And so that the gentleman has that June 15th deadline, he bid on the yellow peas at that facility. And that's the bulk of what we have over there at the location. So okay.
So with those, do we have a total estimate yet for the ballpark estimate for the trust assets with the value of the grain at both facilities plus the bonds?
Plus the bonds, I would say ballpark estimate for the NODAC would be probably in the 700,000 to 800,000 range. Would you agree with that, Conrad?
That would be a good ballpark there.
And ballpark for Midwest grain right now, I'm thinking about $500,000.
In working with the accounts receivable, we did receive a deposit of just a little over $90,000 from a company that Midwest Grain was working with and had sold grain to, but they had not paid on that yet, and that's now been deposited into our trust account.
Okay.
And then the bond.
And that's included in the $500,000.
Yep, that's correct. It's $400,000 bond, that, and then additional $7,000 outstanding on an account receivable that we're working on.
And on this chart of claims, it doesn't, does it distinguish which fund or which pot?
No, the chart does not at this point distinguish. That's strictly just a tally of the claims that have been filed, minus without any of the analysis as far as which side of the fence that would fall on.
Credit versus cash.
Well, credit versus cash, but also, addition to that would be the Midwest versus the NODAC.
Oh, I see.
So for the two insolvencies we have.
Do you have a sense for which one is going to have the most?
that's difficult because a lot of them say, look, our claim is against Midwest Grain, but then they've got NODAC grain scale tickets. So we've got to conduct an analysis of where they appropriately fit. In addition, we have some people who say Midwest Grain, but they were receiving checks from NODAC that bounced. So we've got to evaluate that in more detail. And we're also still expecting to receive some additional records that were just located as well. So we need to go through those records too.
I have another question on that too, but if we do end up in an executive session, I think it would be more appropriate there. So
okay.
I'll wait.
Okay. Anything else?
Any other legal proceeding update? We did do the motion to change venue to get these all combined into Pierce County. We made the motion in the Midwest Grain case, which was venued in Burley County, because that's where we need to file. Nobody has opposed that motion, so we're hopeful that the court will enter an order soon, and then we'll try to consolidate these two so that we can start drafting one report and get moving on that as soon as we can.
Good.
Other than that, the only other issues I would have today are issues that I would recommend we discuss in executive session.
Okay. Is there a motion to do so? Or let me lead off with this first. The legal authority for closing this meeting is North Dakota Century Code Chapter 44-04, including North Dakota Century Code 44-04-19.1 and 19.2. The purpose of this executive session would be for attorney consultation. At this time, a motion would be in order to discuss the case in executive session rather than in an open meeting. Is there such a motion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I move the commission convene an executive session for attorney consultation in Midwest Grain Trading / NODAC Grain, Roving Grain Buyer / Grain Warehouse Insolvencies, case number GE-18-395, PSC versus Hunter Hansen, doing business as Midwest Grain Trading et al., Burley County District Court case number 08-2018-CV-03299, and PSC versus Hunter Hansen, doing business as NODAC Grain et al., Pierce County District Court case number 35-2018-CV-00088.
Second.
There is a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on the motion? Sensing none, I will take a roll call vote. Chairman Karasius.
Yes.
Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Aye.
Commissioner Chrisman.
Aye.
The executive session will be recorded.
The motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. The executive session will be recorded, and all members of the commission are reminded to limit their discussion during the executive session to the announced topic. Any collective decision, collective commitment, or other final action by the commission must occur after it reconvenes in an open meeting, unless final action is specifically required by law to be taken during the executive session. The prohibition on taking final action during the executive session does not apply to providing guidance or instructions to our attorney or negotiator. There are no members of the public attending the meeting who would have to leave the room. We anticipate adjourning the executive session at approximately 8:53, 8:54.
You mean starting it?
Or starting. And it would last until, thank you, approximately 1 hour, which would be 9:52, 9:53.
Commissioner. I don't think the executive session will last an hour. I think it'd probably be more like a half hour.
30 minutes would
anticipate.
Okay, now I've got to do some quick math on that. So approximately between 9:20 and 9:25. Present at this time in the room, John Chu, Mitch Armstrong, Conrad Crawford, Steve Call, Commissioner Chrisman, Commissioner Fedorchuk, and myself, Commissioner Karasius. And we will now begin, stop recording. And